Good afternoon, Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Megan Overby. We start this broadcast with Harvest Hotline, brought to you by Dairyland Seed, the North Dakota Mill, U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, Beta Seed, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. This year's soybean crop is in the bin for Wilmot, South Dakota farmer Jason Frericks. The growing season was average for the northeastern part of the state. Frericks says the area was about 1 inch of rain short from a bumper soybean crop.
You know, we did see some impacts of the frost, not anything significant, and for the most part, when it did come, we were far enough along in terms of maturity on any soybeans and corn. Nothing to be ashamed of, and certainly with the recent uptick in prices, even though many of us kept marketing as the prices went up, but it sure is a nice little reward for a little bit smaller crop than we had expected.
Frericks adds these dry conditions are welcome at harvest. However, the conditions are preventing fall field work.
We hope, at some point to get back going on that, and perhaps we'll have some more moisture that we can have some fall rains. Obviously, we're making plans for next year, even as we take out this current corn crop, which it's, you know, maybe a little bit disappointing, even when you looked at the ears that were out there and the stand and everything else. The potential was there, but again, about an inch of rain short from going over better than average type of yields, but we're just blessed with what's there, and we'll forge ahead and stay safe.
In the far southern Red River Valley, Scott Gillespie has wrapped up his corn and soybean harvest. There was a little disappointment in the average yield. Gillespie says the corn was dry, much of it under 14%.
To put it into perspective, we burned 30,000 gallons of propane last year, a little over. And we put in a new 30,000-gallon propane bullet to try to be a little more efficient on a price point, getting our gas bought. And it looks to me like we're going to have all of our corn acres is going to take about 4,000 gallons total.
Gillespie, who is based at Johnson, Minnesota, says this fall is dramatically different than last year.
Well, we've had zero mud. The tillage is going well. I mean, I tell you what, if we had a year like this every year, there'd probably only be two farmers in each county, because you could farm a lot of land with weather like this.
And that's Harvest Hotline, made possible by Dairyland Seed, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the North Dakota Mill, Beta Seed, and U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated.
The latest U.S. drought monitor shows increasing dryness across the northern plains. All of South Dakota has abnormally dry or moderate drought conditions. The far southwestern and southeastern corners of South Dakota are showing either severe or extreme drought. As of October 13th, nearly all of North Dakota is abnormally dry or in moderate to severe drought. The exception is the far southeastern corner, where there is adequate soil moisture. Most of Minnesota has decent soil moisture. Abnormally dry conditions or moderate drought is persisting in the far northeastern, southeastern, and southwestern corners, as well as a portion of central Minnesota.
As the dry conditions and drought persist across the northern plains, this is also causing a decline in pasture and rangeland conditions. 44% of North Dakota pastures are in very poor to poor condition, while 20% are rated good to excellent. In South Dakota, 31% of pastures are in very poor to poor condition, just 19% rated good to excellent. Compared to the Dakotas, pasture and rangeland conditions are better in Minnesota, with a 57% good to excellent rating.
According to the Energy Information Administration, ethanol production for the week ending October 9th in the U.S. increased 1.5%, or 15,000 barrels per day, to 937,000 barrels per day. Ethanol stocks also increased by 1.7% to 20 million barrels, 9.3% below 1 year ago.
Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops says the friendly ethanol production numbers are supporting corn markets.
Ethanol production improved again from last week, so that's a positive sign, positive direction there, pushing corn to the $4 mark, but it's really the fund buying that's driving corn, soybean values, wheat values this morning, catching a lot of buying interest and kind of spilling over into corn and soybeans, with dryness a huge factor as far as the U.S. plains goes, where we are planting winter wheat, badly need some moisture, as well as northern Russia and northern Ukraine.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said the White House won't let differences over funding targets derail economic stimulus talks. Mnuchin and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi have been talking on the phone this week, and COVID-19 testing remains a key difference in those negotiations. President Donald Trump also told reporters there is still a chance for a COVID relief package, but blamed Democrats for inaction on the deal. Trump said he would support a bill costing more than $1.8 trillion.
The Minnesota House passed a $1.87 billion bonding bill yesterday, featuring several tax provisions that include conformity with the federal government's Section 179 expensing deduction. Minnesota House Agriculture Committee Chair Gene Poppe says it took about 5 months to accomplish.
This time in October, I think the pressure was as intense as it could be, because the farm organizations, farm groups, and Chamber of Commerce, many people on board for the Section 179 full conformity, as well as just other cities and counties, people across the state that wanted a bonding bill.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Crop producers suffering losses in 2018 and 2019 eligible for WIP Plus payments are facing a deadline for enrollment.
That sign up will end on October 30th.
Farm Service Agency Administrator Richard Fordyce says an online tool is available from the USDA to determine eligibility.
Crop insurance harvest prices for corn, soybeans, and sunflowers are determined during October. As of yesterday, the harvest average price for soybeans is $10.40. That is $1.09 higher than the base price. The average harvest price for corn is $3.87 per bushel, a penny under the base price. The current sunflower harvest average is 4% higher than the base. The final numbers are completed at the end of this month.
Enbridge has wrapped up its Line 3 replacement project in North Dakota. As a whole, more than 1,000 miles of pipeline and facilities are being replaced in Canada, North Dakota, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. The work is complete in Canada, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. Barry Simonson oversees the project in the U.S. and says there's only one major piece of construction remaining.
We are poised, once we get all final permits, to start constructing Line 3 in Minnesota. So we're looking very forward to that. This has been a very long process, very thorough process, that has garnered a lot of stakeholder input, which has gone into every aspect of the project itself.
David Hodick managed the Enbridge replacement effort in North Dakota and says the focus is now on restoration of farm ground.
I mean, we're working in probably one of the richest agricultural areas in the, you know, in the world right here in the Red River Valley. It was very important to us to return that land back to the same productivity that it had before we came in to install the pipeline, and that's something that we take very seriously.
September was a good month for farm equipment sales. According to the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, U.S. tractor sales increased nearly 22% in September compared to 2019. Combine sales increased more than 8%. Year to date, tractor sales are up about 15% and combine sales up 4.3% from last year.
The Peterson Brothers, a Kansas-based trio known for their YouTube videos on farming, are helping promote the 4-H Pollinator Habitat Program thanks to Corteva AgriScience. Kendall Peterson explains more about the program.
The program uses teams, as teachers, as ambassadors to reach youth and promote that bees and pollinators are very important, as about one in every three bites we eat as a result of pollinating insects. And when, that's a lot of food and a lot of production, so it's valuable to both farmers and consumers. And so it actually reaches over 30,000 youth nationwide, just encouraging knowledge about pollinators and the habitats that it takes to keep them healthy and happy.
Lauren Bogg of Arkansas is one 4-H-er involved in the Pollinator Habitat Program. Bogg started beekeeping 5 years ago and says it's a great hobby at any age.
About 5 years ago, my dad bought some bees and beehives, and he thought it would be a great way of teaching my brothers and I responsibility. And since then, we have moved to a 15-acre lot in the country, and my brother and I have taken on the role as the primary beekeepers. And I love learning about honeybees and raising awareness about them and sharing how important these tiny creatures are for our environment.
The Argentine Labor Ministry has ended a nearly day-long strike by union workers at the soybean processing plants owned by Cargill, Bunge, Glencore, and Dreyfus. The union was ordered back to work, and salary negotiations will resume next week. Work stoppages like this are common in Argentina, where inflation levels of nearly 30% are expected this year.
The USDA is investing $1.5 million in rural broadband service in rural areas of eastern South Dakota. The dollars will be used for a fiber to the premises network in Lincoln and Turner counties, bringing more than 1,100 people and 30 farms high-speed internet. The funding is part of $550 million allocated by Congress in the second round of ReConnect program. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Draft policy outlining increased brucellosis research has been unveiled by USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. The studies will take place in cattle and other large animals that cannot easily be housed indoors. The disease is typically spread to domesticated livestock from wildlife. It typically results in production losses of $1 million per year and is still expanding in the greater Yellowstone area and in U.S. feral swine populations.
McCook Central FFA member Cole Schock from Salem, South Dakota, is a finalist for the American Star in Agricultural Placement. Schock would like to have a dairy farm one day, so he decided to begin a career in the dairy industry as a first step. He started his supervised agricultural FFA experience project on the family dairy in 2012 and then earned his AI certificate in 2018. He's since returned to the family farm and works as a Select Sires AI tech. Schock will be competing against three other finalists for the award coming up in the virtual 93rd National FFA Convention. The Star Award winners will be announced during the fourth session of the event that will be held on October 28th. And the Red River Farm Network will be reporting from that event, so stay tuned for updates. Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, December Minneapolis wheat up 11 at 557. December Chicago wheat up 17 at 614. December corn up 6 3/4 at 403. March corn up 5 1/4 at 407 3/4. November beans up 5 3/4 at 1062. January beans up 4 1/4 at 1061 1/2. December live cattle down 65 cents at 109.62. November feeder cattle up 5 cents at 136.37. December lean hogs up $1.27 at 69.70. And a friendly reminder, looking at the event calendar, there's lots on the radar. And today we were also notified the 2021 American Farm Bureau Convention is going virtual. Check out more details on upcoming events at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.